You're listening to a Toe Network production, putting heroes on trial because someone has to. Tired of the discourse and writer fandom? Looking for something to put that bounce in your step and a bee in your bonnet? Then look no further than the Uncommoncast RX, Active Ingredients, Aleph, Amit, Claire, Gomez Q, Neji Rayon, Professor What, Sona, The Imposter. Side effects may include Heiseiitis, Showa Fever, Helper Robotophobia, and an English Lilt. Welcome to this episode of Uncommoncast RX. The subject is Combinator Gaim, episode 39. And today there are going to be three people discussing this illustrious episode and event. And I'm mocking it, but I actually kind of liked it.
First on the docket is me, Aleph. Still just this guy, you know?
Right. And then me, Amit, and then...
Nedj.
Okay. So I will start off since I started the notes. So 39, Kaito's clever utilization of Kota's obstinate naivete is fun, maybe. It is objectively true that they need to get into the tower, and whether or not Captain Tsundere wants to admit it, an all-out attack against Yggdrasil is the best way to save Mai and stop, you know, the end of the world.
Yeah, it really is. And the little, no, I'm smarter games that Kaito keeps wanting to play are just really getting old. And let's face it, Yggdrasil is the one place where they can slap the stupid out of Michi, because, as I said last week, that's how the genre deals with this sort of thing. Save Mai, save Akira, save the rest of them, and then go to Helheim to do, I don't know, a thing, I guess?
Maybe they'll have to escape through there, who knows?
Yeah. Because it's, you know, it's the one stable gateway, and then they can talk to Pappy, and he'll be all like, humans, they have no hope, and then stuff, I don't know.
Rinse and repeat,
I'm hoping
yeah.
It senses, yeah. Give me a senses-shattering conclusion, that's all I need.
Fair enough. I wonder if Ridaway wants to see how Michi will break, because killing Takator didn't quite do the job. He was smart to take Mai to Pappy for protection from Schemy Green.
Agreed. He's anime-slash-comic-book quote-unquote crazy, but he ain't stupid. I will say this, though. It's making me look forward to Ridaway's inevitable betrayal all the more. I mean, was I the only one feeling... Okay, also, was I the only one feeling like she was flirting with the kid? Because, I mean, if that's not me, she needs to back off. I don't know how they do stuff in Helheim, but that kid is like 14, and that is not on.
You know, I don't think leaving Mai with the big boss invest might not be the best idea, because, well, we don't know too much about him. Just like he can teleport things and stop stuff. So what if he suddenly decides, hey, maybe she'd be good for the life sucker?
It's a very good point, but I guess Michi is banking on Pappy being a lot more noble than anyone has a right to expect him to be. Look, Urobuchi had an idea for the ending, and we've got to get to that ending. So this has all got to go. This has got to work how it's working.
Yeah,
I suppose. And as far as I want to pretend that once the overlords reach their overlordhood, they lose more than just their sense of taste. So she may have been flirting with the kid, but I don't think it was going to go any further than that.
Fair enough. They are plants, after all. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess plants half or part fish people too. I guess with Pappy. Right. I don't know, he's weird. He looks like a whale
design. Reminds me of the worms from Kabuto.
Actually, I thought he kind of looks like an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Weird design.
Good design.
Maybe.
Debatably.
It looks cumbersome.
Debatably.
It looks cumbersome. It's, you know, cool to look at, but I like function, too.
No.
Which, you know, speaking of function and stuff, Ryuma comes in and he's being a tool of the show. For sure, I will say that. And it's irritating that he wants Data again. I gotta say, Urobuchi, what are you doing? I mean, this guy wants Data and he's been talking about it for a long time and That's pretty much it, and that's not very compelling.
No, it's...
To me, anyway.
No, it's not, and... But again, I mean, Ryoma's just got that one thing, man. And I'm just gonna chalk it up to them trying to do with Ryoma what they're doing with Kota's new not-eating habits and making dang sure that the kids get that something is amiss. And they can just... And then all the little kids at home are like, man, what is he doing with all that data?
That is a good question. He has absolutely no resources to speak of. So what is he going to do with that data?
I don't know. Make more drones?
Make Roboriders? Make more? Make the Huckhider Squad?
Hey, you know what? He might.
That does not sound like the worst idea. Like, if this whole thing just suddenly turned into a Huckhider show for the very end, I would be blown away.
Yeah, he's got to make red, blue, and silver, yeah.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous. But, you know, speaking of fantasies,
yeah,
it was so gratifying to see Kaido slugging Ryoma. I've really had enough of the guy.
Yeah.
And he just came back.
Yeah, it was so, just bam! Oh, so good. Not to mention, it's nice to see... In this same scene, it's nice to see Kota be reactive. People often criticize superheroic characters as not being proactive enough, and that's an argument I'll gladly have, because I see a big difference between being proactive and hunting people for sport. But Kota spent a lot of time feeling utterly inactive. And meeting the series halfway, we can say that that's because he's a more considered writer who tries to take on a more nuanced perspective. But at the same time, ugh, I'm tired of that kid just hanging out by the river, just wondering what it all means, man, when his bro Kaito is just saying it straight up like, dude, you're a jerk. Pow! It's such a contrast, and it really frustrates me at times.
Let's see. So I brought up Ryoma's drones earlier, and, you know, not only is he irritating, but so are they. They seem like a little more than a waste, to fill out the runtime while adding little to the character story. So, for example, had it actually meant something, it would have been cool, but just, you know, Zack, Minato, and Kaito fight them while Ryoma and, Kota go ahead. Like, there's no meaning in that, really, to me.
No, it's really just providing excuse to shave off characters that they aren't interested in using in this or the next episode. A lot like they did with Junoichi and Oren Pierre earlier on. Zack, Minato, and Kaito will definitely be back next episode, or if not next episode at some point. But I do worry for Junoichi and Oren Pierre, and if that was indeed their last stand, I'll at least be happy that they didn't go out as clowns. Again, I mean, they've got too many characters for the story they're telling, and holy crap does it show.
Yeah, it felt like they just added characters and didn't think it through too well. Mind if I say what I have to say about the Tula Poppers, or too late?
Lay on.
Oh yeah, please do.
All right, I feel they move around really stupidly.
Go on.
I'd prefer... You guys have seen Return of the Jedi, right?
Once or twice.
Probably like 15 times.
Well, I think it'd be better if they moved around like the AT-STs. You know those things, the little...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're so right.
If they were like intimidating instead of clown shoes, that would be very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's... And... Why not pull from a cool source like that?
Goodness knows it's pulling from every other possible cool source.
Right, which is the really strange thing that I don't get. Okay, I gotta go switch something. So if you guys want to keep talking about something else, and then I'll continue my point about surveillance, you can.
Yeah, no problem.
I mean, but maybe related to the show, that would be better.
Aww. Yeah, probably.
Okay, I'll be back in like 2 minutes, hopefully.
Okay, this is related to the show. In order to catch up with you guys, I had to watch 4 episodes in a row. Thanks.
That's... Hey, don't blame me. You were off having fun.
Off having fun? Oh yeah, I was, wasn't I?
Yeah. But, well, I have to say, though, I mean, how is it watching everything all at once? Because I've heard it argued that the show holds up better on marathoning. I'm kind of dubious about that prospect myself, but I take it from your tone that you did not find it so.
Gave me a headache.
Aw. Well, did you notice anything particularly interesting thematically in the meanwhile, or?
That soccer episode made no sense.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan either. And you can hear all about it on a previous episode of the Uncommon Cast RX.
Plug.
Yep. Oh. But I think... I think most one of the things is just kind of sort of getting to me that maybe we can not have to edit out. One of the things that's getting to me is that how very, very one-note a lot of people have been throughout. Which it's just really starting to get to me at this point, because Kota started out, you know, having a lot of like, yeah, I'm a fresh young kid with superpowers. I'm gonna go throw my hands around and fight monsters. Yeah! And then we get to somewhere in that mushy middle point, and he's just sitting by the side of the river, thinking about what it all means, man.
Or in Bondo's, even though it really shouldn't be open still.
Yeah! And again, I mean, speaking of characters who are just, there's too many characters. Like, yeah. we've had all these stop-offs at Bando's, and to what end? Like, there's no effect of it that you couldn't also have just as well at the Gaim Garage. Except, of course, that we couldn't have as many scenes showing Kota not eating, but we've had Mai point out, you know, you should have something to eat. No, I don't need to eat. I eat lock seeds now.
I was going to bring that up, but
they could just
show him eating. No, that's okay. They could show him or the others eating at the... Well, they don't show anybody eating, actually.
No.
So
I imagine the
place
is pretty dry on resources now that nearly everyone else has skipped town.
Yeah, but Mai kept going to the convenience store or whatever to get food. That's been established.
Yeah, well,
which,
as you would well know with your 4 episode.
I really did like that scene though, where they're, you know, scramble, you know, they're scavenging for food. And even the little cheesy bit where it's like she's leaving money on the counter, it's like, okay, fine, but that's a character moment. That's a character decision. That's her talking about, you know, what is important to her, keeping at least a pretense of the civil society in the face of the apocalypse. That's important to her. That's an interesting thing. And I wish we got a bit more follow-up on it before she was kidnapped by male
Tame
privilege Michi.
Well, whatever he says. I was almost going to say the family annihilator, but
yeah.
He could be that too.
Oh, he kind of is. Just a little.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I forgot who he just killed.
Yeah.
Good point.
But I think that will be a very prescient comment, because I mean that is very much the archetype he's falling into, and I'm kind of ashamed of myself given my sort of morbid fascination with the phenomenon that I didn't get there sooner. So kudos to you, sir.
Thank you very much
for going just like pitch dark before I did.
Well, you know, every now and then I pull something out of my hat.
Yep.
I summon a CGI bat from my, you know, leather wings. Anyway, sorry.
You saw the movie too,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Okay.
That makes one of
let's
us.
Let's see. So, surveillance fruit. They are awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It's really one of the more clever uses of the Overlord's connection to the Helheim flora that I've seen, and also has these pleasantly, vaguely mystic, sympathetic magic overtones to it that I really, you know, adds nice little occult spiciness to their powers.
Yeah. Although it's weird that they're only pulling this out now.
Well, look, you take the good stuff when you can get it. When it pops up, credit where it's due, you gotta put the credit where it's due.
Yeah, unfortunately, it really needs to be embraced desperately sometimes.
It really does!
Yeah. You take the good, you take the bad, and then you have the facts of life.
Man, you ain't old enough for the facts of life.
No, I'm not. I don't even know the whole theme song. That's all I know.
I'm barely old enough for the facts of life.
But I've seen older shows. I love the Andy Griffith Show.
Well, there you go. All right, should we move on?
Yes.
Or did you want to make one more point about the fruit, Midge?
I'm sorry. Now I have the giggles. No, my point doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, you know, as much as I'm irritated with the guy, some of Ryuma's faces are priceless when the turtle invest shows up.
You know, and I'm right with you there, dude. And it's a lot of going back to what you said last week about the actor trolling the whole production. I'm usually a bit put off myself, and sometimes even a bit mad when I don't feel like an actor's taking their part seriously. But after watching this show, I can't say I blame him for clowning on the production a bit.
Yeah.
It's all gone a bit silly, and not in a pleasant way.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, I don't know. What would you do? I mean, would you act, you know, would you take it seriously or would you do the same?
Well, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, that's not my job. I'm not, you know, I'm barely a critic, let alone a professional stage actor. But, like, it's just one of those things where, you know, you watch a movie and you feel like you're engaged in the story and it's this big sci-fi epic and there's people dying all over the place. And then one actor just comes up, looks straight at the camera, winks, and then just, you know, is clearly clowning the rest of the time, and it, you know, it takes you out of it. But given how out of it I've been with Gaim, he might as well have fun. Because he's been overacting the whole time anyway with his weird anime body language, so he might as well be, you know, along with the guy who plays Bando, you know, the two guys who just acknowledge that the fourth wall is there and occasionally threaten to break it.
Yeah, right. What about you,
Mitch? You know, I think someone involved here needs to be having fun because I'm not having fun with this show. So someone should be.
Ouch. I thought we were going to be more positive this week.
Man, well, you know, there is a lot of good stuff. It's just, you know, this is, you know, this particular area is, it's hard not to be kind of like, yeah, he's trolling us, but I'd be bored doing anything else in his shoes, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Besides, I'm a maverick. Well, I don't play by the rules.
Okay. I guess I'll go with my last note here, and then we can see if we can have anything more to say or not. So Ryuma's new tricks are interesting. It would have been cool to see a show where the hero is a techie, or is, like, the techie genius who upgrades his own gear. Because I know we've had that stuff, like, in Agito with Izawa. She, like, made all the G4 stuff, and, you know, Kengo technically upgrades or, you know, gets more switches, but those are kind of more a given.
Yeah.
This isn't a complaint about Gaim. It's more a complaint about other shows, and it's something that I hope to see in the future. Like a smart guy or girl, hopefully, you know, working on their own stuff and making it happen. Like a, you know, Iron Man, Tony Stark, Batman thing. That would be interesting. An interesting angle for Kamen Rider.
Yeah, and I'll have to agree there, because even as I say, I'm just going to point out right now, it is just a cheap bit of post-hoc rationalization for why one of the Genesis juicers can be anywhere comparable to Kota's fragment, I guess, of the not quite omnipotent golden fruit, because that's what the Zenith Arms is, I guess, right? Because it's not the fruit itself, but I'm really confused
like,
about that.
I could give you a like a religious illustration, if you want.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You want to finish your point and then I'll say it?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that, you know, this is all just how they're explaining why Ryoma is even anywhere on the same ladder as what is supposed to be the zenith of power for the Lockseeds. I mean, and I will say, as far as post-hoc rationalization goes, modding is just a better thing than last week's "he's fighting with a strength you've never seen before." But, I mean, eesh. Though, now that you say it, I gotta say, I would be super excited to hear that, say, Drive, the protagonist was a gearhead and made their own cars or something like that. Like, if Tritoron was just something like, man, I always wanted to be a Kamen Rider, so I made my own Iron Man suit and keyed it into my awesome car. Like, it'd be kind of cheese, but it's hard not to get behind that.
Oh no, that's that would be exciting.
Yeah.
That'd be super cool.
Yeah, especially still, since, I mean,
cheese is better than whatever this is, stale fruit.
Hmm. Though, I mean, you get fruit to ferment, it becomes alcohol, and that can be fun sometimes.
I
but
don't
after
drink.
An edge, well, of course you don't, you're underage.
Yep.
Sorry, I just, you made me feel old, and I gotta get something back.
You can only be 20 for so long, right?
Yeah. You're gonna get up there one day. Gramps.
Resum.
Alright,
get off my lawn, shake cane, etc.
You had one last point you wanted to make, right?
Alright. It was a little point, like, on what you said about the whole, that whole, a techie genius hero guy. And, like, then he'd be like, this is kind of, okay. Sorry, I don't know how to go about saying this now.
Just say it. Say it and we'll say something if we have to.
Okay. But then the protagonist would be a nerd and the cool kids wouldn't watch it.
Yeah, no, well, exactly. I don't think, a good thing is that Sentai at least always has a smart person on the team.
Yeah, you gotta have Donatello.
Yeah, well, they get to be cool, to some extent at least, so hopefully that would help break things. And I, you know, made a reference to Tony Stark, and Robert Downey Jr. represents a, super cool guy. So, like, hopefully the protagonist, like that super intelligent protagonist, wouldn't have to be a jerk for, I don't know, non-nerdy people to be able to, or cool people to be able to accept him. Or her, but
that is cool anymore anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. Being a jerk to people? Being winning while you're getting drunk at Taco Bell? And I don't know.
Who would want to enter a Taco Bell?
Me. Y'all don't even know how much I miss Taco Bell.
You ain't missing much, man. They opened a breakfast menu.
Oh!
Yeah, they have a, isn't it like a waffle taco or something with sausage in it?
I heard about that. That is the dumbest thing. I want to eat 8 of them.
Well, you see, listeners, you see how much we're compelled by Gaim, that we're talking about this? No, I mean, like, interesting things are going on. It's just, it's been a long time, and the execution isn't super strong. I did enjoy this, though, more than I have before.
Mm-hmm.
But that may be because I've changed the way I'm doing my notes, too. So it's like a lot less grueling process for me. And I'm still paying as much attention, but I'm not having to spend as much time. So it's not a big deal anymore to go through it. I haven't been dreading it. I've been keeping up pretty much. And I want to see a good conclusion. It's just, I don't think it's coming, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it. I mean, one of the things I will say about this most recent stretch, I know Nedge was just completely not at all a fan, and I can certainly understand a lot of that, but I will say it's been improving steadily as we, well, maybe not steadily, but in fits and starts as we've been going, because one of the things that Urobuchi has said in interviews that he has had planned out is he knows how it wants to end. So now he just has to get all of the people into the places they're going to be for the ending he had in mind. So we are heading towards something, and it's clear that we're building towards something, a thing that will, of course, inevitably have Ryoma's data coming to some sort of use.
Yeah, you know what? They're not here to defend themselves, so I'm going to attack them.
Go for
Do
it.
Do it.
Cheap shots are how I roll.
Yeah, Claire and Todd, when I was bringing up, like, oh, look at the, like, sun and moon drivers that, like, the sunflower and a moon-looking driver that Ryoma has sketched, I think he's gonna try to steal Coda's power, which, like, that's apparent, right? He's going to try to steal it or siphon it off somehow.
That would be what I would do if I was a cowardly evil genius.
Yeah, and, like, you take
totally
it
not, though.
And combine it with your modded belt to access, to ascend to a different level. So, like, he wants to reach that level through technology and science, which apparently our science and technology is way more advanced than what the, I don't know, lymph nodes had.
Yeah, but they've, you know, they've got the weird magic stuff built in with it.
Well, right, but
I guess.
But what I'm saying is, I think, like, whereas Coach is getting a, he has a sliver. Oh, by the way, I won't use directly the religious idea or discussion or whatever. But like, check this out. If you have a cup full of ocean water, that the water in that cup is 100% ocean or seawater. It's not all of the sea, but everything that's in it is of the ocean and of the sea.
Okay, it's holographic. Every piece contains everything in the whole. That
yes.
sort of thing. Okay.
Yes.
That's a good
one. I would go with that.
I just...
What was that in regards to now? I don't remember.
Oh, that was the Zenith arms?
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, okay.
All that power that he has is completely of, you know, the Zenith, but it's only a certain capacity, I guess.
It is the Zenith, but it is not the Zenith. Okay. That's
yeah.
That's the nonsense I needed so that it works in my head.
Yeah, well, there you go.
What?
Yeah, I know. But it's true.
That's
to the capacity he can be filled with Zenith power, he is.
Yeah, no, I like that. At least, and that's why he's changing, so that he can contain more of it, and... Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Probably. Probably.
Look, I just, again, as I have said before, like, I just need a frame in which to, a perspective from which to understand a thing, and I will be better able to meet the story halfway, which is, you know, again, what I've said I'm trying to do for the series, always. I'm always trying to meet it halfway, just sometimes that's a more circuitous route than I think it should be.
That's fair. I mean, not much more can be asked of you.
Yeah.
And really, you're only hurting yourself in doing it.
Well, actually, you know, it really, like, I know I take shots at Gaim all the time, forever. But it really is fascinating to me to, you know, just even a failure, and I really do think that the show is going to turn out to be a failure, can be very instructive in how you put this stuff together. And, you know, they've got a great cast, and I really do think they've got a great cast. They've got a great setup. They've got a great conflict. They've got a great special effects team. They've got a great setting. They've got everything good, and yet you throw it all together, and it becomes this weird, quasi-Tarantino, faux-edgy remix of things that are all good. You know, they're great taste, but they aren't great together. It's like peanut butter and orange juice.
Yeah.
I don't even like orange juice.
Well, somebody does. Yeah, that's really good. And you know what? I have to remark. Takatora, the actor for Takatora, fantastic in all these hallucinations.
Fantastic.
The actor for Mitsuzane, Mai as well. They're all doing great performances. It's just they kind of have crap to work with, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, they're bringing their A game, and sadly, the show is just not up to them.
Even, like, seeing Mai in the dress juxtaposed to Mitsuzane, you know, in the office in his suit and stuff, like, it all feels very thematic. He's in a black suit, she's in this white dress, you know, she's talking to Rusho or whatever, and like the way she's talking to him and like her positivity is getting through to him, it's like, yeah, that's what the guy needs, and you can see where things are going, and you can see visually like things are cast in a certain way, but it's just hard to tell if it's actually going to go there and if it will deliver on the way.
Which has been one of the big problems the show's had throughout the entire run. Here's all these ideas. Will they deliver? No. Here's the idea of, again, and because I'm a big fan of Junoichi and Oren Pierre, here's the badass military dude, and the punk kid he's taken into his tutelage. And maybe that should lead to something, but no, it just leads to a bunch of cartoony nonsense.
Yeah, which is unfortunate. We're coming up against a hard break, so you guys want to make any final statements before we check out?
Well, you know, as ever, I hope the show gets better, and I know it has the capacity to do so. I just want it to get off its butt and do so.
Yeah.
Is that it, Nedge? It's fine if it is.
Let's get a better show. I like better shows.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. Pretty soon we'll have a guy who has a car slapped to his wrist. Did anybody else automatically think, oh, they just took the Tokyuger thing and transferred it to Ryder?
You are not alone.
Okay, good. I haven't done...
What, some designs come out, or are we just going on the premise?
No, go to the Tokusatsu... Wait, hold on. Let me properly plug this, because I don't want to screw up. Go to tokusatsunetwork.com. That's a good place to go for all your Tokusatsu news. And they have, like, the third or fourth story down. Well, I don't know. Maybe the sixth or eighth story down. It's been a while. Is there. It's about Drive. So you can check that out. Anyway, thanks for everybody for listening. We are going to go ahead and get out of here. Look for a Kiva episode to be next. Next week.
Really need to catch remember, up on Kiva.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah, you really do, dude.
I just have the two, 47 and 48 left, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm stuck in.
Yeah, it's good stuff. You're stuck way too far behind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good show.
Stuck at episode 15 for months.
Yeah, well, that happens sometimes. But, yeah, anyway, expect a Kiva episode next, and keep looking at the site, the site, and you can find other content there, reviews, and other shows like the Sailor Moon one, and pretty soon there's going to be some Star Wars Rebel news going up there, and maybe a Star Wars Rebels pre-show. Yeah, look forward to that. And, bye everybody. You can catch our information at the end. If you experience any complications, would like to make a testimonial, or have any questions, send your correspondence to uncommoncastrx@gmail.com or contact us via Twitter @needsmorealeph, @gomezq, @illustratorclair, @nejirayon, @ProfessorWhat, @SonoYourFace, @Where'sMyHenchman. On behalf of everyone, this is Amit saying we hope you have enjoyed this dose of the cure for the Kamen Rider Show. I run the show's Twitter feed @UncommonRx, as well as the Toll Network feed @TrialOfHeroes, where you can keep up to date on all our shows, including Moonspeak, a bi-monthly Sailor Moon Crystal show discussing the ongoing series. Subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, your favorite RSS reader, or visit trialofheroes.wordpress.com to get it all.